This morning you're going to hear a message about consistency. Consistency brings victory. And when you recognize what it is to be consistent, and you recognize what it is to walk on this level plane, that we are just the same, and we are just going to be consistent in our faith, we're going to be consistent in our marriages, we're going to be consistent as parents, we're going to be consistent as young adults, we're going to be, man, we're going to walk this line of consistency in our walk with God. Because you know those people who go highs and lows, and like a yo-yo, man, they just, you know, Sean, I read the whole New Testament last night, it was great. Well, give me a verse. Man, I read the whole New Testament last night, man. It was... And how about we read one verse, and you read that all week long. And you watch how God just flips that verse in your life, and it becomes so real and alive to you. How about you take some of the epistles, and you begin to break those down. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You go through some of the books in the New Testament, some of these letters, and you spend 1 week every day reading that full letter. Every day, that one letter to the church, man, that'll bless you. That's consistent. That's me hungry to know what this thing is all about. Hungry to get this verse in my world. Man, there's something to consistency, folks. Because, you know, you ever met that person? Oh, man, I work out. I lift them weights. And you're looking at them going, couldn't really tell that about you. No, man, once a month I hit the gym. Oh, okay, yeah, that explains it, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, that, uh-huh. You know, you're not going to get any muscle on your body lifting once a month. 12 times a year, you're really not going to get all that much, right? So this morning's about consistency. And this morning you're going to hear things from me. There's times I don't really talk so much about me or my testimony. And I see in Paul's writings where he visits constantly where he was in life, the foundation that was built in him and where he was in life to where God has brought him to be a preacher, an apostle, and disciple. So you're going to hear some things about where I'm, because there's a lot of new people in this church that have no idea, who is this guy? I mean, if I'm going to put me and my family under him, As our pastor, as our leader, as the one that we're sitting here in this week after week, well, where'd he come from? What's his background? What's he believe? What churches has he been in? Does he have any other pastors in the family, or is he the first deal? So it's good to get to know me. And all of this leads to consistency brings victory. And you and I being consistent in our journey of faith. Faith is a journey, man. I just am on a Jesus high, and then you flop to the deepest part of the sea, and I'm back on a Jesus high, and you flop. It's a walk of faith that is a consistent walk. It may not be the real high, and then the low, and then the real high. Consistency wins the race, folks. Come on, let's ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time in our prayer, this time of asking you to speak to our hearts. God, we just come before you this morning after just a great time in your presence of worship. God, we come before you and ask, God, that you would speak to us from your word. God, that we would come to this place. And God, that we would have an ear to hear from you today. God, we would have an eye to see exactly what you would have us see this morning. God, that our hearts would be a sponge, ready to just absorb anything that you would have for us today. God, I'm asking that by your Holy Spirit, you begin to pinpoint every single heart that's here in these seats. That God, you would deliver this individually to each person in their seats as they sit. That God, they'd walk out of this place not the same. They'd walk out of this place holding on to your word, knowing that God, you've spoke to us today. So Father, I'm asking that by your Spirit, you move in such a powerful way. That as we see your word and as we hear testimony, as we see what you're doing and what you've done, God, you would just speak to us today. God, we're hungry. Hungry to hear from you. Our ears are open to hear from you. God, that we might see what you have for us. Folks, I ask that you would ask God to speak to you this morning. God, speak to me. God, I'm hungry. God, I have an ear to hear today. God, I need a word from you today. God, I'm in a place where I need this. God, speak to me, please, because I need this. I need to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as we look at consistency, you know, we look at those who are like one-hit wonders. Like, I think athletics. I think of James Buster Douglas. If anyone knows anything about boxing, this guy was you know, a mediocre boxer. In 1990, he goes up against Mike Tyson, who is just a beast. Tyson was just ripped, shredded, fast, strong, punch once, down for the count. I mean, this guy was an animal. Fighting in 1990 in Japan, and the odds were 42-1 against Buster Douglas. 42, nobody would even take that bet. There was one casino, one place in Vegas that would place the bet. 42-1. And the 10th round, Douglas knocks Tyson out. Incredible fight. Well, that was short-lived. The next fight, Buster Douglas, one fight to defend his champion, and he lost. And then he just got out of it, gained 400 pounds, one-hit wonder. And then you think football. And I think of a one-hit wonder. And now don't be throwing your tomatoes at me. We do love his faith. Loves Jesus. That's awesome. Not going to be wearing a football uniform in heaven. Listen, Heisman Trophy winner. Sweet. Draft pick. Yes. Made the NFL. Awesome. Bench. Got his start. Incredible season. Blowout season. Bench. Gone. One-hit wonder. And then I think of consistency. I think of those who were consistent in their careers. I think of this guy. Some say greatest moment in baseball history. Consecutive 21-31 consecutive games played. That was a 56-year-old record that he broke. Some say not to be broken again. He got to 2,632 games that he played in consecutively. He played for 21 years, 19 years of those he was an all-star, two-time American League MVP. This guy was raised in Baltimore, played for Baltimore his whole career. He broke Lou Gehrig's record. Lou Gehrig was raised in Manhattan, played for the Yankees his whole career. There is something that I look at these people who play for the same team their whole career, and I look at that and say, that's honorable. That's consecutive. And you could imagine how many games he had to play through with pain. You can imagine how many games he had to play through where he could have easily said, Coach, you got to take me out, man. I need a break. Every game. For 2,632 games, he was on third base or shortstop. Amazing. Amazing. There is consistency that leads to victory. Come on, look at Acts 2, please. Turn to one place this morning. Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 38. Here, this is after Jesus was on the cross. Buried, resurrected, made known that he was the king, made known that he was God, made known that he conquered death. And here you've got Peter who saw this, looked at this as an eyewitness, and then Peter just became one who just understood Christ the King, understood Jesus the Savior, understood Jesus as divine, as God, and Peter ran with this man. And he began to preach and he began to teach. And look at this was his message, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent. He looked at this and said, listen, change your mind towards sin. That's what repent means. This is his message. Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for you and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified, kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Look at this, verse 41. This is great. So then those who had received his word were baptized. Those who had come to believe, Christ is the King. Jesus died for me. I need to repent and change my mind towards sin. That those who were saved. Now look at this. This is great. Verse 42. Or verse 41, then those who had received his word, baptized, and that day were added 3,000 souls. Wow, 3,000 people. Peter preaching to the crowds. Peter preaching to the multitudes. 3,000 said yes to Jesus. Yes, yes, I need Jesus. Yes, I'm lost in my sin. Jesus. And you got to remember, this was fresh. These were eyewitnesses to the man in the middle hanging on a cross. And here Peter is preaching this. Remember that one? Remember the one hanging in the middle? Remember the one that was mocked? Remember the one that was beaten? Remember the one that was flogged? Remember the one that you couldn't recognize as a human? Remember that one? Hey, he died for you. He took your sin. And that you would repent and believe and call on his name, you'll be saved. 3,000 took that message to heart. Now, verse 42 is huge. Verse 42 is huge. Folks, it shows us what they did with it. And they continually devoted themselves. Highlight that. They continually devoted themselves. The word continually devoted, you know what that means? Please hear this. They persevered. They endured. They were consistently diligent. That's what that means. They were consistently diligent in what? Look at this. This is huge. They were continually devoting, they were consistently diligent to the teaching or to the apostles' teaching. They were consistently diligent to get under the Word of God. They were consistently diligent to get under the truth, the speaking, those who are preaching truth. This was something that they were constant in. This is something that they were diligent in. This is something they didn't miss. The preaching and teaching of God's Word. Every weekend, folks, we hit it. Every weekend, I want to be consistent in bringing messages that are life-changing, bringing messages that are going to speak right to your heart by God's Spirit, bringing messages that we now, myself included, now walk out of this place the same. And then you take that and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. You yourself are diligent to get into the Word of God. You yourself are consistent. You are persevering. You are enduring. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel that there's an injury, you find yourself at the shortstop position ready to go. Even when you are tired, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're going through a difficult season, even when you're asking God, where are you in this? You are diligently seeking the Word of God. Consistent to hear His Word. They were consistent. Consistently diligent. And fellowship. Well, fellowship here means it means participation. Fellowship here means it means relationships. It means partnerships. See, this is how valuable church is, folks. I don't need a church. I just watch the television. I get my message online. But they were consistently diligent seeking the participation and the partnership of others. Relationship, folks. That's church. Building strong families and strong relationships. That's Believer's Chapel. And when you begin to recognize and understand that they persevered, they endured, they were consistent in looking for fellowship. They were consistent in wanting to participate. They were consistent in building relationships with people of the church. Hebrews 10 says, listen, do not forsake the assembly yourselves together. That's church. Don't forsake it. For listen, as the day draws near, encourage, build up one another. That happens in church. That's fellowship. Look at this. They were consistently diligent to the breaking of bread. That's communion. That was the seriousness of remembering what Jesus did for us. And they were consistently diligent. In prayer. They didn't just pray on Sunday. They were diligent. They were consistent. They persevered. They endured. They got up early, folks. They got into their prayer closet and they sought the face of God over and over and over and over and over. When you are consistent in the Word of God and you are consistent in partnership and fellowship, when you are consistent to remember what Jesus has done for you, and when you are consistently on your face seeking God, knowing that when I cry out to God, His ear is inclined to me and He leans in to hear what I have to say. Wow, incredible. But they were consistent in this. When you begin to understand what it is to be consistent, Consistency brings the victory. You see, there are times in your life that you will go through this walk of faith, and there are these times in your life that you're going to be on this journey. And I look at faith like a journey. I look at faith like this walk, one step in front of the other, man. I am just trusting God. I'm just trusting God. I'm just trusting God. And we look at the consistency of our journey. We look at the consistency of our faith. We look at the consistency of our time and our understanding of who God is. We look at the consistency in our marriages as husbands and wives. We look at the consistency of how we raise our children. We look at the consistency as young adults saying, God, I will always follow you and I will be consistent in that. But there are times on this journey that you go through seasons of life. There are times on this journey that you really have no idea why we go through at times what we go through. I mean, I've come to learn. God, it's training. God, you are training us, because you know all things, and I trust you in you knowing all things. And God, if I am going to be consistent in my journey to trust you, I am going to go through different seasons of life. I am going to go through different circumstances. I'm going to find my places questioning, God, what the heck is going on here? And if we are consistent, at the end of the day, you will recognize that it was training for something that God had planned for you. See, folks, my mom and dad, amazing, amazing godly parents. Okay, my mother's grandfather was a pastor. My mom's mom, my Nana, at 9 years old, folks, was an evangelist. This was in the 20s, unheard of, 20s. Mary Agnes Wittgenstein, you look her up, and there are books. She's in New York Times. There's books written about. This is my Nana, my mom's mom, that close. In the 20s, 9 years old, speaking the truth of God's word for souls to be won. Man, she was powerful. Plumber would come to the house, and this girl is preaching Jesus to the plumber. Just amazing, right? I mean, he'd be on his face weeping, and this 9-year-old's going, you need Jesus. Wow, this is great. Ridiculous. It's crazy. 13 years old. From Pittsburgh to Seattle, they put her on a train to go do conventions at 13 to open the scripture, finger in the air, just preaching to these people. Incredible, gang. My uncle Paul Wagner, pastor of Believer's Chapel. He started Believer's Chapel in Cicero in Syracuse, New York. Was a missionary for many years in Brazil. Came out of the mission field. Started Believer's Chapel in Syracuse. Then, man, he was one where I gained so much wisdom from my Uncle Paul. So I would go up and just travel 3 hours just to sit down with lunch with him for a 2-hour lunch to just ask him questions, get some leadership from him. Man, it was so worth it for me to drive 6 hours for 2 hours with him. And there was a moment that in the parking lot of the church, and I remember him just praying over me. And he said this, God, I'm passing the baton to Sean. What? He's one of the most powerful preachers that I've ever heard. One of those you want to be like. And man, when I was just 11 years old, folks, we moved to Olean. My dad was head coach at Alfred University for soccer and lacrosse. I got two other brothers, Todd, Brent, and myself. And you would imagine, think about this. My dad being the coach of Alfred University, you got Alfred Ellman Bible Church, which is the church that I grew up in up to 11. Alfred Ellman Bible Church, which is a powerhouse church right now. They have planted churches. They have done an amazing, that started in my parents' house. Believer's Chapel started in our house. And here, my dad, the head coach of Alfred University, you're thinking, I mean, we've got lacrosse sticks, lacrosse balls, soccer balls. We are the ball boys. We are under the lights. It is just, dad's a bomb. This is great. Dad's the head coach. I mean, this is like, I mean, for three athletic boys, it doesn't get better than this. I got an older brother, younger brother. I'm in the middle. And man, it was just like, this is awesome. Parties with all the team at our house. We got used to the swimming pool, the basketball courts. I mean, it was like a dream for three dudes in a house. Dad's the coach, man. Dad has a meeting. He says, we're moving to Olean. Oh, Olean University. Maybe there's a big coaching position for dad. I mean, like, Olean was the big city for us Alfred farm boys, right? I mean, this was the deal. No, we're buying a bookstore. God's leading us to buy a bookstore. Well, do they have soccer nets? Do they have lacrosse balls? I mean, what kind of bookstore is it? Bookstore. So we went from like top of the hill, man, coaches, kids, to a bookstore. Dad, we don't read. What are you talking about? We're athletes, Dad. We don't read. Come on. This is, are you kidding? A bookstore? Like, what kind of book? What? And so we moved here and got involved in a conservative Baptist. And then we went to a conservative non-denomination. And here at the Baptist, we learned really the absolute foundation of Scripture. Here I'm at 11 years old. 11 year old, I walked the aisle at the Baptist church. To give my life to my King. Never forget it. Then we went to non-denominational conservative. Then I went off to college. I came home from college, and there was a point when I was 21 years old. And I came back from college just broken. God, I have not served you like I should. Jesus, you did all that for me. And I have failed you over and over and over, and I have not come to this place of surrender. I remember being on my face, on my knees, 20-some years ago, broken before God, because what He has done for me and how I live for Him. And everything changed. And I went to Dad and said, Dad, I can't go back to that church. I need something with a little more life. I know where I'm at right now, and I'm hungry for the Word. I need something with a little more life. So He sends me to a church here in Olean. And man, I walked in the place. Man, I walked in and they're like having instruments. I'm like, ooh. People are raising their hands. Like, oh, wait a minute. What, you people getting a little out of box? I mean, they were like raising their hands, singing loud, pumped to be in service, excited to be at church. I was like, who's excited to go to church? I mean, this is, Dad, did you send me to the right place? Because they're like raising their hands and they're shouting and singing. And in this, it was a balanced, charismatic church. Well balanced. I mean, you know what I learned there? Is worship. You know what I learned there? Is it's okay to clap and shout and sing. It's okay to raise your hands because God instructs it over and over and over. The man taught me worship. He taught me what the Bible says about praise. And that changed, gang, that changed me. I can't tell you in such a way that I was free to be able to worship God and praise Him and raise my hands and shout and clap and be so pumped that God, the creator of the universe, I get to bless you in worship. And I get to thank you, God, and express my understanding that you are God. And I was taught that. No one ever taught me that before. You raise your hand in the church I went to. You got to go to the bathroom, son? You know, same suit. All the time, the dude had the same brown suit on and never changed, which gave us a lot of ammunition as teenagers. Dude, seriously, change your clothes. I mean, come on. You got to go to the bathroom, son. I mean, you could imagine there was a freedom, and it taught me so much about worship. And all the while, man, I'm a cop. Renee married a policeman. She never married a pastor. She married a cop. She knew when we dated at Edinburgh University that I was going to be a cop. I wanted to go to Miami or New York City where the real action. I'm like, God, take me to a place where I am going at it, God. Come on. Bad guys everywhere, man. Every corner, taking them down, chasing them, running after them. I mean, I was in the best shape of my life, and I was ready to use it, man. I was like, oh, man, put the mace away, and let's just fight. Let's just go for it, right? I mean, that's where I was. Renee wasn't thrilled about the whole getting shot at often thing. Don't know why. But God kept us here, not knowing, having any idea of what He had planned for me here in this region. And then that pastor, man, when I began to hear him preach, it was like life, man. It was like food to a starving soul. It was amazing preaching, incredible preaching. Yes, that's it. Man, folks, I'm a huge skier. And when I would leave on Thursday night the slopes just to get to church on time, that's something. That was huge progress, man. That was amazing for me. I couldn't miss church. Because when I fell in love with Jesus, I fell in love with His Word. And devour and devour and devour His Word because I fell in love with Him. And that was a balanced charismatic church that taught me worship. And then he left and someone else took over and it just got goofy. And from balanced to very imbalanced, and it just became goofy. And here at this point, I'm a leader in the church. Me and Renee are looking at this going, this is not scripture. This isn't balanced. What is going on here? And we left. You know what God taught me? This is true. Folks, once you know goofy, once you've been under goofy, you know exactly what goofy looks like. That's true. When you've dated a real jerk, you know what a jerk looks like. Come on. And we're at this point in our consistent journey, having no idea. Yes, I was teaching at the time, and yes, we started a college and career ministry, our house that blew out of our house, had to go another house. Yes, we were involved in youth ministry that blew the door off. Yes, we were involved in home. We have a home. We had 50 to 70 people in our home for home group once a month, first Sunday of the month. That's how we did it. And then things got goofy, and we were like, yeah, we got to go. So I recognize that God has given me the ability to teach this, but I just wanted to be a cop. Top of my game, undercover. Catching the drug dealers, serious stuff, banging in the doors on the SWAT team, top of my game. And you can imagine leaving goofy, and then we go to this place with David Hearn, who was here. He's our missionary pastor. He's the one who talks about missions. And I go to Southside Union Chapel, Heritage of Flame, not having any idea of what God's doing, but just walking consistent, knowing. Gang, there wasn't a week. When we left one church, there was not a week that passed that we didn't sit home and say, well, we're just going to do church. No, we're going to church because we know the value of what it is to be in church. And we went in Southside Chapel with David Hearn. And there I learned leadership. I learned missions. I learned so many different things, and God has taught me these things from going to conservative Baptist to goofy, and now God's teaching me the real heart of missions, still not having any idea that all of this was training for where God has us now. And just so you know, I hold Cal Ripken, Terry Bradshaw, Lou Gehrig, I hold these guys in highest regard because they were in the one place for their whole career. Gang, I honestly love Believers Chapel. We are invested in this place, and we're not going anywhere. Love this place. Greatest people on the planet come to this church, not having any idea of what God was doing. And then there's a moment that I sit with David Hearn. Here, David Hearn saw the call in my life and sat down with me and said, Sean, God's got a call in your life. Which was something that was confirmed because my bride has been saying, well, before David Hearn said it, Sean, there's a call on your life. Yeah, but honey, I love being a cop. This is what I'm made for, honey. I'm good at this. Well, honey, there's a call. Yeah, but I'd have to give up pension. I'd have to give up retirement. I'd have to give up benefits. And Sean, there's a call on your life. David Hearn sits down with me at Tim Hortons years ago. Sean, there's a call in your life. We want to take you in this ministry and we want to pay for your Bible college. There'll be a day that you got to leave the police force because God's got a call on your life. You know, all the struggles and all the hurts and all the pains of the past, you're like, God, what is going on? I'm at the top of my game, God. Everything is going so sweet right now in the force. God says, Sean, what are you going to do? I've called you to ministry. Are you going to lay down your badge for the Bible? Well, I'd love to tell you, I'll have a piece of cake walking obedience. It was simple. No, it was so hard. Knowing the truth, knowing what God's called me to, but knowing my love for what I was doing. And Renee just kept, Sean, God's got a call on your life. You can't ignore this. You got to walk in obedience. I don't know what God's got planned, but you got to walk in obedience. And I sit down with David Hearn after leaving the force and serving under him and going on missions and getting the heart of missions, where God begins to speak to us again and say, we want you to plant a church. We want you to lead a church. And David Hearn says, yeah, I know. See, a lot of pastors would just really screw that up and try to control and hold, not having any idea that he'd be our missionary pastor, and we have the most amazing relationship between these ministries, that we are so intertwined as one ministry, absolutely crushing and making a difference around the world. But God knew. Consistency. Consistency brings the victory. And while I'm at Southside, there's this young man, maybe 21 years old, at a special night that we hold, and he's sit there playing his guitar. I'm just like, who the heck is this kid? And I just felt God in my heart say, you go thank him for what he's doing. And empty your pockets to him and bless him financially. Not having any idea that there'd be a day that I would call this kid. Say, man, Renee and I are starting a church. We got nothing. But I know what we want for music. And I know what I want for worship. I've been taught and trained worship, and I know what I want. Would you and your wife, I got nothing to offer you. I got me, my wife, and my family, man. You in? I want you to be a worship leader at Believer's Chapel, man. It's a brand new thing. And that's your worship leader. Because one day I gave him money from my pocket, being obedient, not having a clue that God would join us together to do something that's never been seen. Consistency, folks. Just to be consistent. And here we have such an incredible bond and such an amazing relationship. It took one day to call me back. Sean, we're in. We're there. And then we sat down for about a year and a half and prayed and fasted and talked and just watched God bring four people together to do something that's never been done, folks. And watch what God is doing in him. That today? What? And to watch them two grow? Because I walked in obedience to empty my pocket to this kid that had a guitar and that could sing like I haven't heard. Not having any clue that God's called us together to serve. Just being consistent. See, look at this. Consistent in the journey says this. Galatians 6 says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Folks, what are you sowing into? Are you sowing into consistency? Are you sowing into your walk? Are you sowing into the things that God's called you to? Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now get this. This is great. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Here's the consistency part, folks. Do not lose heart in doing good. For in due season you shall reap. In God's season, in God's timing, our responsibility is to be consistent. Our responsibility is to stay the course. Our responsibility is to stay on target. Our responsibility is to walk this walk, being diligently consistent to be under the teaching and hungry for the Word of God, being diligently consistent to be into a place to recognize fellowship and partnership and participation, to recognize what it is to understand the commune and come to a place of the Lord's Supper, to recognize what Christ has done continually in prayer. For in God's timing, you shall reap if you do not grow weary. How many here this morning are at a place where you want to quit? You're at a place you just have no idea. What am I going through, God? Why is this taking place? Be consistent. It's training for where God will take you and where God will put you one day in life, and you will look back on and all of the things that Renee and I have ever been through. We can look back and say, God, thank you. Not having a clue what you've had planned. I am so glad that we maintain our consistency. I'm so glad that you continued to push. I'm so glad that we knew and fell in love with your word. I'm so glad, God, that we maintain this place of being consistent. That, God, we did not grow weary. God, we did not lose heart. And God, you have always been faithful. And you've always been consistent. And then I see this verse, 1 Corinthians 15. You ever have a verse just really dig in? One verse change your world? One verse that you hold on to in time of hurt or pain? One verse that you just hold to and say, God, this is true. God, this is alive and powerful. God, speak to me in this. And you hold it, and you hold it, and you get it, and you understand it, and it rearranges you, and it begins to change you. This is one of those verses, folks. When I came to that place at 20, 21 years old, to say, God, I am done with the world. I'm done with the past. I'm done with the bad relationships. I'm done with the friends that are serving the devil. God, I'm in. God, I'm broken. Forgive me, Father, for walking in such a way. And then this verse right here, look at this. Death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus, Lord. And then this right here. This is all the way to death. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God, I will be steadfast. God, I will not be moved. God, I know my position in you. God, I know what Jesus has done for me. God, I know how patient you've been with me. God, I will not be moved. God, I will be steadfast. I will not be moved from your word. And I'm telling you, 21 years old, everything changed. And God, I held on to this verse. God, I will not go back to that world. I will not go back to those friends. I will not go back to getting drunk. God, I will not go back to doing what we're doing. God, I will follow you. God, I will not be moved. God, I will not be shaken in this. I will be immovable. God, I will be steadfast. I will be consistent. Why? Look at this. My beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding, always forward in the work of the Lord. God, I will constantly, having just a cop, gang, this is when I was a police officer. God, I will always abound your work. God, I will always press forward in your work. No matter what, God, I will never go back. I will be strong. I will be steadfast. I will be immovable. You are the rock. You are exactly who you said you are. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you died for me, and I will never forget it. And I will live for you, and I will be steadfast, and I will not be moved, and I will always abound your work. What is it to be consistent in the journey, knowing that my work in you is not in vain? Knowing that my consistency in going through everything that I have to go through is not a waste of time. All the ups and downs, all the questions in life, God, no matter what, I will be consistent and I will be steadfast and I will not be moved. I will always press forward your work. Because God, I know that it's never a waste of time. Gang, when you press into that, no matter what you're facing, faced, gone through, or going to go through, at the end of it, you recognize God's hand was upon every part of it. We have a church that's full of people who've never been to church, been to Catholic church, been to Baptist church, been to Charismatic church, been to United Methodist church, Free Methodist church, you name it, we've got it. Because God has trained me on every end of the spectrum. Not having any idea of what he had called us to. Gang, what is it? Today, this morning, right here and right now, what is it that you know God's called you to, that you're hesitant to? Are you consistent in your marriage? Are you consistent to raise your kids in a God way? Are you consistent to be in the house of the Lord? Are you consistent in your time on your face before God? Are you consistent in diving into His Word? Sean, I don't know how to study. I told you, take one verse for the week. Take one letter and just fire that in you day after day after day. One letter for the whole week. That's how. Oh, you're at a point where you are so ready to just check out. I say, well, it hasn't worked for me so far. They were continually devoting themselves. Do you realize that in the day that these 3,000 got saved, it was serious persecution of the church? If you named the name of Jesus, they were coming after you. We don't have that here yet. And yet they continually devoted themselves. They were consistently diligent, no matter what the cost. And here we have a bad season and we check out. When God says, do not grow weary, do not lose heart, for in due season you shall reap. That's what God said. Come on, bow your heads, please. You know, this morning, this whole weekend, I just really want those who are so consistent to the church, looking for a church, plugged into the church, to know who this guy is up here. We have generation after generation after generation. Men and women who have served God, feared God, and hated sin. Raised in an amazing godly home from birth. To fear God and to hate sin. And have been on every edge of the spectrum of church. And God has trained me in so many different areas where I had no idea what He was doing. But we walked consistently in our journey. Man, I'm 44 years old. I'm in the first inning, folks. There's a lot to do right here in this region. So much to be done. And there is such victory when you know what it is to dig your heels in. You know what it is to be consistent. And you know what it is to devote yourself to the Word, to relationships, to communion, and to prayer. No matter where you're at right now, please hear this. Chalk it up as training for something you have no idea about, but what God has for you in the future. How God will use you in such ways going through what you've been through to be able to encourage and build and speak life. You've got Jesus speaking with Peter. And Peter, Satan's asked permission to sift you like wheat. Peter, Satan asked permission to see what you're made of. To put you through it, Peter. And then Jesus says this, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn again, Peter, when you have gone through what you have to go through, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Could you imagine Jesus looking right at Peter? You're going to go through it, Peter. Satan's going to test you, Peter. You're going to get hit, Peter. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That, Peter, you would be consistent in the journey. Because Peter, when you turn again, and you will, I'm going to need you to strengthen your brothers. Isn't that amazing that there are things that we go through and we don't know why? Please hear this. That when your faith doesn't fail and you turn again, God will use that. Because someone else will need to know how to go through what you went through. And you will strengthen your brothers. Isn't that amazing? Please be consistent. Please be consistent in your walk. As we sing this last song, and I know we're late, but I want to get into this song, please. And I'm just asking in this song that you make a decision in this song. That God, I will be consistent. God, I feel myself being tired. I feel myself getting weary. But God, I know if I hang in there, and I know if I stand strong, and I know that I will be steadfast and immovable. God, I know that I will abound your work. God, what I'm going through, it's not a waste of time, God. It will not come back void. It's not empty what I'm going through. But God, I decide today, to be consistent. And to know that consistency brings victory. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please.
When the mountains fell and the tempest roars, you are with me. When creation falls, still my soul will soar on your mercy. So I'll walk through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in your story. And I'll look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. Let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, God, forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever, and forever I'll sing. When the world caves in, still my hope will cling to your promise. When my courage ends, let my heart find strength in your presence. So I'll walk through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in your story. And I'll look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. Let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, God, forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. And I will love you forever, and forever I'll stay. Oh! rising up from the ashes. God, forever you reign, and my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. And I will love you forever, and forever I'll sing. So let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name. Rising up from the ashes, God, forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever, and forever I'll sing.